Hi, this is Camden Community Radio Arts and Entertainment, brought to you by Daryl McKay. In this episode, we meet the multi-talented, award-winning Tim McArthur, who is a director and actor come comedian. He's fun-witted and a very committed performer who is also a Camden resident. We discuss his new season of Cabaret at Lauderdale House in Highgate that starts on Sunday the 12th of February. We also look at Cabaret and how it works, the pathway he took into performing arts, the creation of singing nun Sister Mary McArthur, other projects in 2012, and also review up-and-coming talent on his radar.
Hi, my name's Tim McArthur, and I'm a performer, actor, presenter, comedy nun.
Okay. So you're bringing a cabaret season here to Lauderdale House. Tell us about that. All right.
For the past 11 years now, I think it's our 11th year, we've been doing Cabaret in the House, which is basically two seasons a year, February, March, and October, November. And it's six Sundays, so it's like 12 Sundays of the year. And basically we get some West End performers who come in and sing their, do their stuff in our lovely long gallery at the house. And we have a host, Valerie Kutko, who's been in The Phantom of the Opera, Grand Hotel on Broadway, My Fair Lady in the West End, was in the Phantom movie. She's very, very glamorous and lovely and tall and elegant. And she comes out and she sings a song and she introduces the first act, which is someone who's maybe only got new to theatre or maybe 5 or 6 credits on their CV, who's sort of quite new at the game. And they do their 40 minutes. Then we have a little interval served in wine in lovely plastic cups. And then we have our headliner act who comes on and does their 45, 50 minutes, sometimes an hour if they go on too long. We have to get the hook and hook them off, I'm joking. and they do their stuff. So it's a really nice, lovely, intimate afternoon.
So in accordance to the programme, it says that you'll be opening.
I am.
Tell us
Sunday.
About your show.
Well, yeah, this is quite interesting because the past 18 months I've been doing a lot of directing. And I also do a comedy character called Sister Mary McArthur, and I've been doing quite a lot of gigs with her. But I haven't done a solo show as myself for about 2 years. So I'm a little bit nervous about it because there's no habit or wimple to hide behind and no tap shoes to wear. So I'm very up for the challenge. And because I haven't done one for 2 years, and I used to do a lot of them, Catherine Ives, who's one of the producers here, said, you should do lots of new songs. So I've learned 10 new songs, which is interesting. I finished Panto. I was playing Damien Panto in Hereford, my second year there in January. Went to Spain for 2 weeks, and whilst I was on Spain, Catherine said, "Oh, you should do one." And I was sort of late in the sun because it was amazing mild weather at the time in the garden. And I was looking at my iPod, going, "Oh, that's a nice song. Sing that one. That's a nice song. Sing that one." And then all of a sudden, now I've just got, oh my goodness, I'm singing 10 new songs this Sunday at 5 o'clock, 5:30. So I'm a little bit scared, but I'm sure it'll be all right.
So how many rehearsals have you covered?
I've had 2 rehearsals. I've got a big sing-through tonight of the programme, and hopefully all the words will be there.
Okay.
But I struggle a little bit with lyrics sometimes and tend to sing other things that aren't in the song. Mm. But it'll be fine, it'll be fine.
I'm sure
I'm telling myself
it'll
be fine. It'll be fine, Daryl, it'll be all right.
So this alter ego, Sister Carrie, where did
Sister
she...
Mary.
Sister Mary. Sister Mary, sorry.
Sister Mary.
Where did she originate from?
She's from St. Peter's of the Sisters of the Third, who moved in Soho in the heart of London's West End. And she's the nun that wants to be a star. She thinks her mother's Elaine Page. She doesn't swear or anything like that. She's a nun.
Okay.
And you wouldn't want to cross her. She's quite bossy. She's a much bigger character than I am. I think she's a bit more braver and gutsier than I am in a lot of ways.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting doing something like this now without having that to hide behind. Because in the past 2 years, I did a Sondheim review at Jermyn Street, which was 5 of us in. And then last summer I did a Rodgers and Hart review there, and that was fine because I was in a DJ and everything, but it was 5 of us and we were singing great material and there was no talking, it was all sung through. But this time it's a little bit more like, and I decided this year to do a little bit more acting as well.
Okay.
So I'm going back to my roots because I originally trained as an actor and I've done like Shakespeare and everything like that and serious things and musicals. And I'm also about to do Assassins at the Pleasance Theatre in March, playing Sam Bick. It's a Sondheim musical, so it's really, and it's a real good acting reel. I mean, he sings a little bit in the show, but he's got two huge monologues about why he wants to kill President Nixon.
With these Western actors, I'm sure they're used to larger audiences. How does it differentiate here with it being so intimate?
What's been really interesting over the past 11 years is a lot of sort of really well-established performers have made their cabaret debut here, who've never done a cabaret before but may have been in like 10 or 15 West End musicals. Like, there's a fantastic performer called Louise Gold who I badgered for about 2 years, and she did her first cabaret here, and she was just breathtaking. And she was so emotional at the end, because it's, you know, as performers, and you train to be in musicals or plays, and you train to be someone else, but there's a real art to just standing and being who you are. It's very, very vulnerable, because it's very much saying, like, this is me. And you know that people in the audience might either love you, or they might hate you. Mm. And it's really, it's scary, because you have literally nothing to hide behind. So I think a lot of them now absolutely love that challenge, I think, of just being able to sing what they want. Mm. Because also when you're casting a show, you have to say those lines, you have to sing those notes, you have to sing that song. Where with cabaret, it's your show, you can do whatever you want.
So you created the season about 11 years ago. Tell us about the early beginnings and the transition from then till now. Any obstacles you had to overcome?
Yeah, what was happening was, at that time, I was touring in one-night shows of the best songs and musicals, you know, like the wonderful West End, and also about to do a two-hander comedy show with the comedian Helen Lederer, who people know from Bottom and Ab Fab, and we needed rehearsal space. And I was living across the road in Highgate, and I came to guest at someone's concert, who was doing a concert. He asked me to come and sing a couple of duets with this lady called Janine Clements. So I basically came into the house and met Catherine, and I said to Catherine, look, I'm doing these shows, we need some rehearsal space, would you be interested? And then we started rehearsing here, and then I just got talking to Carolyn, who's the director of the house, and I just said, there's not a lot of cabaret in London, and this would be a great cabaret venue to do cabaret here. And then she said, well, let's test the water. So we did a Halloween cabaret, and we did extracts from the Rocky Horror Show, and then we did a Christmas cabaret, and then we decided to do a season from February and March of West End performers. Okay. And it's London's longest cabaret scene now, basically, like cabaret season, do you know what I mean? Because I think we've done 25, I think it's our
25.
Whatever that is, my maths is bad. Two in 2001, yeah, you can work it out, everybody at home, get your paper out, get your pencil out.
2 a year times 11.
Yeah,
22.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. 23 then, is it?
Oh, we're probably going to the 23rd, yeah.
Yeah,
and then 24th come
October. Yeah, that's right. You're better than me at your maths. Well done.
Thanks. Okay, tell us about just how you got involved with performing arts. You can take us back to your school days if you wish.
Oh, goodness. I basically, up until the age of 13, wanted to be a bus driver, which is very ambitious. I don't know why, I was fascinated with buses. And then my brother was training to be an actor. And then he started taking us to see West End musicals. And then my best friend, Glenn, his nan, saw an advert in the local paper up north, because I'm from a little place called Gisborne near Middlesbrough, for auditions for Oliver. And I went and auditioned, basically got in, and we rehearsed it on a Sunday for 6 months, and we did that in November 87, maybe. You probably weren't even born then, I reckon.
84.
Thank you. And and that was it. And then I joined every amateur dramatic society in the region, and just did shows every 6 weeks up until, and then I sort of decided I wanted to be a professional actor. Got cast in, went to college, Redcar Technical College, and was supposed to do a 2-year drama course. Basically, got cast as Jesus in Godspell.
Wow.
And then 2 weeks before we opened, I got glandular fever.
Oh dear.
So I was bedridden, and I was very depressed because I couldn't play Jesus, la 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 la. And then my mum came into the room one day, and she said to me, here's a copy of the stage newspaper. Mount View Drama School are auditioning. Mm-hmm. I think you should go for an audition. I think she was just trying to, do you know what I mean, give me a focus and try and cheer me up a little bit. not expecting I'd get offered a place. So then I went down to London, auditioned, got recalled, and got in.
Good.
And that was it, really. And just after drama school in 1995, and I've just been working really constantly. Really, I've been very, very lucky.
Some might describe cabaret as a form of entertainment which combines like comedy, theatre, and other elements. Can you just tell us about those elements and the importance of them?
Yeah, I think it does, because I think there's a real art form to it that I didn't really appreciate when I first started doing it, because it is a very, very... It's very difficult, because I approached it differently, as in, when I first started, I just used to sing songs, and my links were very, very small. And then I went through a phase where I'd write all my links down, so I knew exactly what I was saying. And then it would then maybe sound too rehearsed. Then I went through a phase where I just didn't know what I was going to say between songs, which was quite scary. So now I think I've got somewhere between the middle, if that makes sense. And I think it is. It can be anything. It can be... It's all about how much you're willing to share with the audience about yourself, or whether you create a persona when you're doing it.
Just looking at cabaret from a bird's eye viewpoint,
yeah,
what components make the cabaret show successful? So you've got the masters of ceremony or the host,
yeah.
You've got the act or the talent, you've got the audience, you've got the small setting or arena or area such as a restaurant.
I think it has to be interesting, really. I think, you know, because it does have to be interesting, and it has to be personal, and it has to be vulnerable, and it has to be entertaining, you know. Okay. And also the song choices. I think sometimes people just stand up and sing all their audition songs, which is quite boring, because you're not auditioning for a job, you're actually entertaining people who want to enjoy you and appreciate you. And it's always that scary thing where, you know, you sort of are waiting to go on, and it's that moment of going, oh goodness me, here we go, you know. But at the end of the day, I always have to think to myself, they are there to see us. So they want it to be good. They're not sitting there thinking, sing that note flatly, or, you know, forget that lyric, you know. Because sometimes I've seen some amazing performers absolutely just forget the lyrics and just say, sorry, I need to go back and look at the words. And it's that makes it, because it's not recorded, and it's just intimate with that person in the venue.
So looking at like the spontaneity of the show, can the audience actually dictate to the act what to do at all? Is there any interaction?
Oh yeah, I think, I mean, I do a lot of interaction, and sometimes people don't have any interaction at all, but I'm sort of, I play with them a little bit sometimes, not dirtily, but you know, if they're because okay. You just don't know what's going to happen, and it's also that thing sometimes that you might be asking a question within a link into a song, so sometimes depending, someone might answer you. So it's your choice as a performer whether you go, yes, I do like cabbage, thank you very much, or whether you just ignore it. But yeah, I think it's much more interesting to have that dialogue with the audience as opposed to treating them like they're the audience and the performer, where actually everybody's in it together. As I said before, it's like, I imagine it, they've come around my living room and we're having a cup of tea and a slice of cake.
Tell us about any horror experiences you've had over the years.
Oh, what do you mean, dating?
No, in regards to cabaret, like anyone heckling you items being thrown at you.
There's not so much doing cabaret, but when I worked with Helen Ledger doing our comedy show, there's two places that we just couldn't wait to get off the stage.
Yeah,
where they just didn't laugh, they just didn't get our humour, and that is really hard, because you come out and you start, and then you think, yeah, they're not with us at all. They have no idea what our style of humour is. I was doing a cabaret once where I got asked to support Bobby Davro, the comedian. And we did a tryout gig in the Rheingold Club in Oxford Street. And I was doing, you know, get here, you can reach me by railway. You know that song? You can reach me by railway.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You can reach me on that one. Yeah. And I did this really nice love poem going into it, and Nathan, my MD, was playing beautifully on the piano, and the last line was like, for I'm in love with you, and this is what it is like, or what it is like in words. You can reach me by railway, you can reach me by railway, you can reach me by railway, you can reach me by railway. Total blank. That's all I sang.
Yeah.
Yeah, over and over again, the audience were laughing, Nathan was laughing. And then I remembered the bit, you can reach me like a caravan, across the desert like an Arab man. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. Second verse, you can reach me by railway.
Yeah.
Just got stuck. That was probably one of the most horrific experiences.
So tell us about your second season as a dame at Hereford's Panto.
Oh, that was interesting. The first year was I did Twankey in Aladdin, which is like the dame. It's like the best dame in Panto, and I couldn't believe that was my first chance of being dame. And I actually went out and had a cup of tea with Chris Biggins because, you know, he's done it for years, and I just thought I need to get a little bit of advice on what to do. And he just said to me, just be yourself and just trust your own timing and the comedy of it, and you'll be fine. And then it took me about, I reckon, about 3 weeks probably to get into it. And then the venue asked me back this Christmas just gone. So I went back for a second year, and it was Sleeping Beauty, and I played Dame Catherine Wheel. And I had so much, they gave me so much to do. I had like 4 production numbers, and I just sort of, I basically sort of picked up what I was doing from where we finished in the January before. And all the creatives said to me, you know, this year you've arrived and you're the Dame, you know what you're doing. And, and I really enjoyed it, and it went very, very quickly. But it was hard work. I mean, it's 12 shows a week. And
12?
Yeah, I had like 8 costumes.
It's 7 days in a week, you're doing 12 shows.
Yeah, we only had one day off.
Yeah.
But it was good fun. But hard work.
Yeah. Kate Brennan, she's supporting you on your first show.
She is.
Tell us about the chemistry.
Well, she does the first half, and to be honest, I've spoke to her probably about twice on the phone. She came recommended by a friend of mine. So, yeah, I spoke to her yesterday just to make sure we both weren't singing the same song. So I thought we'd better have that conversation, because that'd be embarrassing if we both did the same
duplication.
It's happened twice before, which is quite interesting. And it's, you know, it's people's different interpretations of songs. But she's a lovely girl. So, well, she seems a lovely girl. I have not met her properly face to face, but so I'm looking forward to watching her. I probably won't watch her though, because I'll probably just be too nervous.
Well, I've got the leaflet here. What I'd like you to do is just give us a quick rundown of the show, and then after that, just give us a summary.
Well, Joseph Connors on the 19th of February, and Joseph's, I met him doing a charity gala at the Lyric Theatre on Halloween actually last year, and he's got an amazing, amazing voice. And Sister May was on the bill. She broke her rosary piece.
I like the way you refer to Sister Mary. I love it.
Yeah, well,
it's like, it's not me, it's someone
it's not
else.
Me. You should interview her one time, Daryl. I tell you, you'd have a laugh. And so Joe Connor, he's got an amazing voice. He's one to watch out for, actually. Jackie Marks, who's on the 26th of Feb, she was in the first British Fontaine in Les Miserables, so she understudied Patti LuPone. She's just been cast in the movie of Les Mis as well. She's got a little part in that. Yeah. Nadine Cox on the 4th of March was in Wicked, original cast of Wicked, and also was in Billy Elliot, playing the mum, the dead mum. She's very good. Leanne Jones is an amazing actress as well. She was in Hairspray and won all the awards, the Olivia Award, the Evening Standard Award, and she's quite fun. And Louise Clayton is currently in Blood Brothers as well. So they're all going to be very, very different. And then we've got our support acts, Jamie Lee Pike, I've directed a couple of times. She's a lovely performer. Will Tudor on the 26th of February was my prince in Panto at Christmas. He's very dashing and very hello and quite posh, but lovely, lovely boy. Daniel Slade on the 4th of March was my son in Panto, and he's a lot of fun. And he's currently in Naked Boy singing, so I think he's pleased that he can wear his clothes for this performance. I did tell him, you don't have to be naked, dear. Duncan Layton on the 11th of March with Leanne Jones is a lovely guy as well. He's auditioned for me a couple of times. And Joe Davenport, who's currently in Mamma Mia, is with Louise Clayton on the 25th of March. And he was my son. He was Aladdin last Christmas in Hereford. So I sort of, whenever I go around and, you know, I do work and I'm like, they're a nice person, I'll give them a gig, they're good, do you know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
I'm always, whenever I meet people, I'm always like, oh, you could possibly do a cabaret.
Should be a cabaret scout then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And when I used to do, many years ago, I used to have my own radio show, and for about 3 years, so I used to interview all these big West End divas. So I'd do the interview and then I'd be like, would you like to do a cabaret at the end of the interview?
So how hard is it to network with everyone having agents?
The people I don't know, I ring their agent up, but generally I know quite a lot of people now within the West End scene that I sort of approach maybe for one season, and they might not be available, and they'll say, can you put me in the autumn season? Like, I know this autumn season coming, there's a couple of people that if they've said they'd like to do it in the autumn, if they're still available, they'll be great to get to do a cabaret here. It'd be really good for them to come. Okay. So I'm quite excited about a couple of names.
Some big names.
Yeah.
Big fish.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
big fish, small pond.
Looking at the year ahead, just give us a quick summary or brief summary of your calendar.
It sounds like my mother this Sunday, this thing, and then I'm directing something at Goldsmiths College from next week for about 10 days. Rehearsing for Assassins, which opens at the Pleasance Theatre on March the 20th and runs through to April the 8th. Then I've got some Sister Mary gigs at the RVT on the 7th and 14th of March. And then Sister Mary then goes to German Street for late nights with Confessions with Western Stars, April the 14th, 21st, 28th, May the 12th and May the 19th, but not May the 26th because it's Eurovision. And then Edinburgh, and then possibly back to Hereford at Christmas for Panto to be my third year as Dame, and then that'll be it. I think 3 years will be there. So that at the minute is, but who knows?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's all to play for.
Okay, so the show runs between February the 12th and March the 25th.
Yeah.
And it's on alternate Sundays, Sunday afternoons, that is. Tickets cost £13 and £11 for concessions. It's located at Lauderdale House, which is on Highgate Hill. To book tickets, contact 0208 348 8716 or visit www.lauderdalehouse.org.uk. Unfortunately, you can't get at Tim because he hasn't got an email.
You can't get at Tim.
A website.
No, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm very... but you can Facebook me or Twitter, Sister Mary MacArthur or Sister Mary MacArthur, or contact, you know, if it's work, it's be my agent.
Okay.
Which is La-Di-Da Management, or the Dida.
La-Di-Da.
La-Di-Da Management.
So if you just type in Google La-Di-Da,
yeah,
it'll come up.
Yeah, Jimmy Jewell is my agent. It's a very good boy. So, yeah.
All right, then. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All information surrounding this interview and others can be obtained by accessing the links provided on the Arts and Entertainment or What's On in Camden page. However, you can always contact us via email with any queries. The address is admin@ccradio.org. Thanks for listening.